Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host from the Great White North. That would be Dylan White, former NFBC main event champion, the master of the Robo Scout, number one in your heart, at the underscore arrival on your Twitter machine. Dylan, what's up, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. Trying to avoid all the news. Tariffs in, tariffs out. If I hear the word tariff one more time, I'm going to lose it. But it's important stuff to pay attention to, but I try not to.
Well, there are no tariffs on fantasy baseball as far as we know. And as we record this, Roki Sasaki is in to face his first actual affiliated batter. It is Ellie De La Cruz, and he takes a 98-mile-per-hour fastball the other way for a double. Calling this live on air. But yeah, so there you go. Roki's in the game. First at bat against Ellie De La Cruz, not a great result, but he touched 98, so there you go. But so we picked a great time to record because I'm going to be like half paying attention to Roki's first start this whole time. So we'll see how it looks. You know, we can't take too much away from spring training, though. Today's theme, we're going to take some things away from spring training in the good, in terms of some targets, some names that are potential breakouts. I think some really exciting names on the pitching side with some numbers and some hard data behind it, Dylan. But let's get into some news. We do have some injuries. Unfortunate number one, pour it out. Another Chase DeLauter injury. The man is consistent, if not anything else. He had core surgery. I'm just going to sum it up as that. The whole technical bilateral core injury that he had. Had surgery on Tuesday morning. He's going to be out 8 to 12 weeks. I'm going to imagine he's not going to be back in like regular full season games until early to mid-June, if we're like being realistic, because I don't take the 8-week optimistic timetable with the lottery. I think they got to take it easy on him. So I would guess we're probably looking like mid-June. Which, you know, I thought if he hit, he had a legitimate shot at cracking camp, potentially as one of their starting corner outfielders, or at least very early on in the season. Now, I think more than likely the earliest we would see him would be after the All-Star break. I think just based on him getting back in the swing of things, him getting his, you know, his timing back, etc., and feeling good, being able to play on back-to-back days, which has obviously been an issue for him. It's too bad because he's really productive when he's on the field, one of my favorite prospects. But unfortunate news. I don't know if there's any big takeaway here, Dylan. Like, if you jump into the Chase DeLauter pool, you got to expect he's going to miss a couple months every year.
Yeah. But his injuries are traveling up his body. They're usually in his feet and ankles, and now it's kind of moving its way up. It's in the core. Next year, it'll be up in the shoulders and neck, and then finally, it'll be above his head.
A hat injury. The broken hat. Speaking of hat, that rhymes with lat. And that is a type of injury that Louis Heel had. You like that one?
So Louis
Heel, with a lat injury. I feel like this is very common for hard throwers. We see a lot of these this day and age. But he's going to be out for a while, which could open up some opportunities. We're going to talk about one potential option that has us rubbing our hands, at least me, in terms of replacement for Louis Heel. What is your take on the situation? I don't know if you're a heel owner at any point, any places in Dynasty or maybe even already in redraft.
I do have heel in the Dynasty that I share with Tim McLeod. It's actually helpful because we have a roster crunch. So any injuries, we're happy. Just hide them for a while. Sean Murphy, hide him for a while. Yeah, I mean, this is these lats are lingering, and I think Clark Schmidt had a similar one, and he didn't like pitch till like September. So,
yeah,
this could be fairly significant, even though they're kind of downplaying it for like a month or two. But yeah, like you said, I assume you're excited about the opportunity for Marcus Stroman in the in the rotation.
Of course, that's who we're going to talk about shortly. Let's talk about another injury that opens up some opportunities for a prospect, Matt Vierling. He is out. JC, the steal of my dream draft that I got super, super late and was just kind of like, hey, what, why the hell not? Was kind of what my approach was on that one. And now it might pay off. He might be getting me some war this year. He could be the starter at third base, which defensively is not great. But hey, could get him some at bats, and if you roster him in Dynasty, ka-ching.
Yeah, Vierling was a pretty popular pick in redraft because he had some good underlying stuff. He's got third base and outfield.
Yep.
So he was like a popular like late target to get some positional coverage. So that's kind of a frustrating one for those owners, those managers. And like on the same team, Parker Meadows has like a nerve thing in his elbow. So, you know, we're all kind of looking forward to the Tigers after their run last year. Maybe they're going to build off of it, but now they're getting kind of hit by the injury bug. So we'll see how that affects them.
Sasaki just hit 99. See if he pops a hundo. Trying to keep an eye on it as we're recording and going through this, Dylan. You know what? That's enough doom and gloom. Talk about some happy stuff. One of the biggest pieces of news that came out per great reporting of my good friend Lance Brozdowski, Ryan Weathers, this data was not public, so he got it from a source and shared it. I think it's important to always sort of cite your sources where you can. I know that it bothers me when people don't necessarily do it to me all the time. But Touch 99, sitting 98 in his fastball, 18 inches of induced vertical break, not like crazy release traits or anything like that, but velocity from a lefty, and above average to plus induced vertical break, especially when you're talking about sort of TrackMan devices at the pro level, which are usually a little bit better calibrated. Already has pretty good stuff. Added a low 90s to high 80s to low 90s gyro slider. I think he's got a pretty good sweeper and a feel for a change as well. So kind of a lethal combination of pitches. Lance had kind of thrown out the crochet like sort of comp in terms of a guy that's breaking out in front of our eyes. It's not a bad one. He doesn't necessarily stay healthy, but I think at this point, like, go out there and take the gamble and acquire this guy. I'm saying this now on air and people are going to hear it and it's going to blow up my trade market, but I really do want to see if I can acquire him and as well as a few of these guys that we're going to discuss. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Weathers, but I thought of all the names that are kind of popping early, this is the one that I find to be the most intriguing.
Yeah. He keeps improving on that arsenal. Like he was a 95 in 2023, 95 miles an hour. And then last year was 96. And now we're here in 98. And like you said, from the left side, that's pretty impressive. He's always kind of outperformed his projections. I know he had a bad 2023, but I think that was a kind of like injury related. Last year, he had a 1.18 whip, 3.63 ERA in 86 innings. So, you know, there's a lot of room on that Marlins rotation, a lot of runway for him. So obviously worth a flyer. I mean, the Marlins have a couple of guys that have kind of built some velocity. Edward Cabrera has been doing well. Max Meyer's up a couple miles an hour. Alcantara, we talked last week, was at 99, 100, kind of sitting 98, 99. So, you know, the Marlins are much maligned, the much maligned Marlins. But, you know, their pitching is pretty interesting this year.
Yeah, it is for sure. I totally agree there. By the way, I think I messed up and I missed Roki's first inning, actually. That was the second. I know it was the second inning. Someone's probably listening and being like, "You're an idiot. Why am I listening to you on this?" trying to do too many things at once. But 3 Ks, couple of hits and a walk in 2 innings. So I assume that's probably going to be it. Maybe he goes three. But that's intriguing. That's nice to see, you know. Trio Ks hit 99, 1, 2, 3, 4 times, topped out at 99.3, had 5 swings and misses over 2 innings. So keep you updated on that throughout the show. If he keeps on going, keeps on pitching. Why don't you give me another name? Doesn't have to be a pitcher. Doesn't, you know, whatever you want it to be. Kind of a mixed bag here. Anyone else that you want to call out in particular?
I quickly downloaded spring trainings, StatCast stuff, did a quick plot, sent that over to you. Actually, just it's kind of whiffs, contact versus barrel rate, just to see who's doing well this year. And one of the guys in the top right corner where you want to be is Brian Rocchio of the Guardians, who, you know, he had a bunch of hype videos come out. There's talk by the beat writers and the team, the guys that cover the Guardians, about how, you know, he was working in the off season. He didn't play winter ball because he was working on gaining strength and all that. And it's kind of paying off. He had a 111 max exit velocity in the playoffs, and he's kind of carried it over here. He's probably going to be, like, with Andrés Giménez out, he's going to probably get a lot of playing time. He's kind of in that age where he can take a step forward too. So I don't know. I'm just going off of small sample sizes. You try to find meaningful changes that could be true talent changes, just in things like, you know, barrel rate or swing bat speed and stuff like that. The bat speed hasn't really taken a step forward. It's only been a few swings, though. Brian Rocchio, someone I like. Another deep name for redraft, maybe in a dynasty, because he's going to get the plate appearances. And so, you know, if he can be just marginally productive and take a step forward, like he could be like JP Crawford was last year, or kind of an accumulator. So I like Brian Rocchio as kind of a flyer.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. And the playing time will be there. And you know, I mean, his nickname coming up was the Professor, and he's just a very heady baseball player. Does a lot of little things well. Easy guy for Steven Vogt to, you know, pencil into the lineup card probably every day, especially early on. So yeah, I like that name. You know, I know other people have talked about like Gabriel Arias and some changes that he made to his swing. So who knows, maybe the Guardians have a couple of breakouts brewing there, but I think that's the best one to call out for sure. Another one that I wanted to call out is Casey Mize. I was a big Casey Mize fan when he first came up. Had injuries for several seasons, though he did have one healthy sort of MLB year mixed in there, but was never really the same after he had this one arm injury coming up in AA in his first full season. I think it was 2019. He was unbelievable the first couple times I saw him before that, almost threw a no-hitter. And then the next week came out of the game and then like kind of struggled through some arm stuff and, you know, potentially obviously he did have Tommy John surgery eventually. What we've seen early in spring training looks really good, and he hasn't even shown all of his arsenal because apparently there's a sweeper that he's been working on that's been pretty good. But the big news here is sitting 96 miles an hour with, I think it was like 19 inches of induced vertical break on average. It's +3 in terms of his average last season and sort of what we've seen from Casey Mize, which was sort of kind of a dead zone heater, kind of a stock shape on it. So that mixed with a two seam fastball with, you know, heavier arm side run, doesn't get a ton of sink. That's why I say it's a two seamer. It's not really a sinker. We know that Baseball Savant likes to classify all two seamers as sinkers. I think there is a little bit of a difference, but let's not get too much in the weeds with the nuance. He's always had the splitter. The slider looks a little bit better. He's throwing a little bit harder. I think the back end of the Tigers rotation with him and Jackson Jobe in his new, you know, sort of improved arsenal that we talked about last week, and we saw it a little bit in action this week, I'm really sort of excited for Casey Mize and just the Tigers rotation in general, which I think could be pretty good when you, you know, factor in obviously the reigning AL Cy Young winner and Tarek Skubal, Jack Flaherty after that, and, you know, kind of a mix of different guys. But I think that Casey Mize could be a breakout star this year and might be primed to handle some innings as well now that he's a couple years off of Tommy John surgery. So will be interesting. Obviously, the big question with him is always staying healthy. But the fastball characteristics look as good as they've ever looked before. So I'm really interested. And, you know, he's always been a splitter guy. So he's kind of early on that wave that seems to be, you know, the hot pitch, that and the kick changeup.
And from what I've seen, the splitter is up to 90, like sitting 90. I think it's like 13 or 14 of them he's thrown. And last couple of years, it's been like 86. So kind of interesting to throw a splitter that hard.
Yeah.
And but speaking of the Tigers, like Sawyer Gibson Long will be back. Him of his big extension. Reese Olson is up like 2 miles an hour from last year.
Yeah,
as well.
Olson's the number three. Yeah, I like Olson a bit.
It's the Tigers are very interesting, especially on the pitching side. So I do like that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you have another one? Or do you want to take a quick break and I'll give you a minute to get yourself composed? Let's do that. Let's take a quick break. We're very well organized in this show. And then when we come back, we're going to have another breakout name for you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a £100 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcastuk. Just go to Indeed.com/podcastuk right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, and we are back. Dylan, putting you back on the hot seat. We're talking some breakout names. We already talked Brian Rocchio. That was your first name. We talked Ryan Weathers. We talked Casey Mize. Who are you going to throw into the octagon now?
I'll go pitcher as well. Very popular name. Another guy who kind of always outperforms his projections is Christopher Sanchez on the Phillies. He's been increasing velocity every year. And then this year so far in spring training, he's sitting like 97. Last year he was 94 and a half. He's kind of mostly just like fastball, changeup, and then a slider. And that changeup's really, really good. I think it led in like run value, the off-speed pitch in majors last year. So now if he's throwing his fastball 97 again from the left side, just huge step forward, hopefully. He had a 3.32 ERA last year in almost 200 innings, 3.44 the year before, career 3.7. He's on the Phillies, who are, you know, one of the heavier teams in the National League, one of the better teams, getting a little old, but that doesn't matter this year. In the rotation with Wheeler and Nola, like this is a very, very strong team. So Christopher Sanchez, I mean, he's creeping up in NFBC in the ADP. Quite a lot, and I have him on a couple teams, and very happy about that. So I like Christopher Sanchez a lot.
Yeah, and I kind of viewed him coming into the year as a sleeper, just based on being in leagues that had innings as a category last mm-hmm. year. And he was a guy that, you know, just based on, you know, looking at the numbers, he kind of consistently got deep into starts. You know, had 181 innings last year over 31 starts, and not a ton of strikeouts, but you know, when you're throwing that many innings in this day and age, like 180 is like throwing 220 like 15 years ago. you know, really, really high ground ball rate, controls the strike zone, doesn't walk a lot of batters. Like, you know you're going to get good ratios out of that guy as well. So if, you know, the stuff is up and you get even a little bit more swing and miss, or he just kind of learns how to, you know, craft a few more strikeouts and coax a few more strikeouts and get up to like, you know, a 25, 26% strikeout rate with all the other characteristics, he could be a massive breakout. So yeah, I like that one a lot. I think that's a good one. Another one I'm going to call out here, which is the name that I was kind of speaking about earlier when we talked about the Louis heel injury, Will Warren. Will Warren has looked phenomenal. He looked great again on Tuesday. Two different fastball shapes. You know, it's actually like good release characteristics in the four seam. No, he doesn't get a ton of hop. He's got velocity. He's got a two seamer as well. That gets true sink and heavy arm side run. Always had that crazy sweeper. It looks even better this year. And he's improved his changeup. A lot of guys improving their changeups this year seems to be like the hot topic. But I don't think it's not a kick changeup. I think it's just an improved grip, getting a ton of arm side run on that pitch. So it's kind of counteracting the sweeper that he already has and tunneling really well off the two-seamer, the sinker that he's throwing. He's got a cutter. He's got a curveball. He's got some bridge pitches kind of mixed in. It's a really deep arsenal. And, you know, we've seen this before from the Yankees where they've had these guys that were kind of unheralded picks that have big stuff, and it takes them a while for it to all come together. But it's kind of like the Michael King trajectory. So there might be a chance that Warren is in the rotation at points during the year, maybe in like long relief, maybe some pen innings as well. I think he's kind of going to be a Swiss Army knife and has the stuff. And like the command has always been pretty good for the level of stuff he has. But I think this added changeup or improved changeup is really making a big difference in terms of tying the whole arsenal together and making him deadly against, you know, both right-handers and left-handed batters. So that's why I'm in on Warren. And another name that, you know, I'm kind of cursing myself for saying it publicly because I want to go out and trade for him.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're talking Michael King. It's also like Clay Holmes. So last year, Will Warren's sweeper slash slider had 16 inches horizontal break on the glove side. And then the sinker had like 16 inches on the arm side. And this year so far in spring training, it's like 19 or 20 inches of sweep and 17 inches of tail on the sinker. So he's even added more of that kind of east-west movement. So you're saying he has a new change as a cutter as well? Is he throwing a cutter? I think he is, actually. That it's Michael King and Clay Holmes all over again. So hopefully with this, not hopefully because of the Louis Heel injury, but that's going to give him an opportunity to ply his wares and show the stuff he has. So he's a guy that I've been targeting in my NFBCs. He goes late. He goes in like the late 40s in the rounds. So I'm sure it's been creeping up since the Louis Heel news, but and especially since his performance in spring training has been so good too. But yeah, you're not going to be able to get him in the 40s for much longer. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true, but you know, I don't know. It was nice while it lasted. I also think with a lot of these guys, like their return on investment could be a lot greater than even what their peak draft position is going to be come, you know, late draft season drafts and late March and stuff like that. I think sometimes that the board doesn't always totally catch up to these guys. I felt like across my different drafts last year, where I did well was in that like mid to late tier of starting pitchers and kind of having the right targets. And I think some of that is, you know, spending a few months working on rankings and then trying to figure out where you got stuff wrong and update it before the season comes roaring on your back like it is right now. But I think that's definitely true. So Dylan, let's go back over to you. Who is your next breakout name?
Okay, so this one is my sneaky name, and I have taken him in all my FYPDs. I've grabbed him in a couple redrafts, and also got him in got Slack to take him in that Devil's Rejects, and that is Kyle Hart of the now Padres. So the reason this guy is sneaky is just like with Miles Michaelis and Eric Fetty, projection systems take their entirety of their major league career. So when they go to the KBO and they come back, it still thinks Kyle Hart's 2021 or 2020 season should be included in his projections. And as we saw with Fetty and as we saw with Miles Michaelis, if they come back as new pitchers with new pitches, added velocity, it's probably you probably shouldn't be counting what they were doing in the major leagues before that. And so if you just take his KBO performance last year, Kyle Hart's, and translate it, he's a 1.17 whip, 3.5 ERA guy with 8.5 K per nine, like basically a strikeout per inning. And all the projection systems like Steamer and all that are not accounting for that. They have him as like a high fours ERA with a high whip. And so no one's taking him. And we've been grabbing him in like the 30s. But he is pitching like he should be, like that's like Kyle Hendricks type stuff back in Kyle Hendricks prime. It's like Ranger Suarez type thing. So he is super undervalued because of people's reliance on projection systems that have not accounted for the fact that he may have changed who he is significantly. So I've given away my secret here. This was my big pick, but I did all my FYPDs. I already grabbed him everywhere, so I can afford to share the spoils.
Yeah, that's an interesting one too, because you know, kind of a grinder type that came up through the Red Sox system, never really got a chance as a big leaguer, you know, went over to Korea and, you know, sort of figured it out, it seems. And we've seen that before. So as you said, it's kind of a way to kind of game the projection systems and figure some stuff out. I have one more target breakout remaining in me, Dylan. I don't know if you have one more as well, but
I don't. Go out with style.
All right, we'll go out with style. Victor Robles of the Mariners. I think this kind of is one of those where like the best breakouts are guys that broke out the year before. It's just so weird how it happened. He got released in June and then almost immediately started playing full-time minutes because the Mariners were short on outfielders. And, you know, Robles can defend, Robles can run. But like the underlying data, even like the launch angle seemed to like clean up, and he was hitting a lot more like hard airborne contact, was catching way more barrels than he ever had previously in his career by a significant margin. I think, you know, they obviously cleaned up the swing path a little bit just by watching video. You could kind of see it in the hands and just sort of where the barrel was at contact, which just led to better angles and I think just more consistent hard contact. I mean, he's still not putting up like crazy EVs or anything, but I think did have his max EV last year with the Mariners. He can run as well. You know, you're talking about a guy who I think in a full season could maybe steal 40 bases. I don't think it's totally crazy. Maybe give you like 12 to 13 home runs. And if the batted ball stuff keeps up just with his speed and the quality of contact that he was showing last year, he's probably going to run fairly high batting averages on balls in play, which will lead to good batting averages. And I think, you know, pretty good numbers. He's never been a high strikeout guy. Always been a good contact guy. Defense will keep him in the lineup. And surprisingly, he actually hit better at home than he did on the road, despite playing in that environment for the Mariners. But I think cavernous parks like that are sometimes good for these sort of gap hitters like Robles. So he's an interesting one because I think he's going to get playing time pretty consistently. The team believed in him. They extended him for a couple of years. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on Victor Robles as a breakout?
I like it a lot. I have him in a couple DCs for sure. It's, I mean, I used to have him during his dark seasons too. So I've always been a sucker for Robles. But yeah, like this is a guy at age 21 in 2018. He had a 131 WRC plus and 66 plate appearances. The next year, his first full season at 22 years old, 617 plate appearances, had a 3.5 WAR season. So the sky seemed to be the limit. He had like a incredible defensive season too in center field there. And then the next 4 years, so including the COVID year, I'll call that a year, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, he basically averaged like zero WAR. His WRC plus was like 66, 69, 65. Like he just fell off the table. He had a little bit of a resurgence in 2023, resurgence meaning he had a WRC plus above 100. But then, like you said, he got released, picked up by the Mariners. They had him hitting leadoff. he was just stealing bases anytime he got on base. I was kind of going up against a competitor in my home league who had Robles, and it was just very difficult to watch him stealing bases constantly. Yeah. And like you said, they extended him. So this is a guy that, again, the projection systems, if he's a new guy, if the Mariners have kind of changed who he is, he's got his confidence back, then the, you know, projection systems are kind of accounting for all these kind of lost seasons. And, you know, he's not going to project that well. They have him at like 250 with 10 home runs and a bunch of stolen bases, 36 stolen bases. So people are still taking him in redraft for that. But I think he can be even more, like you said. So have him in a couple places. I really like that pick.
Yeah,
he's only 27, too. He's only 27 years old.
Yeah, he's not that old. And I think if you consider his lineup spot that he's projected for, at least at this moment, is the leadoff spot in that lineup. Julio Rodriguez behind you, Cal Raleigh, even Randy Arozarena. You have three guys there that can drive in some runs and kind of an interesting mix. You know, it's not a great place to hit. It's not a crazy lineup, but I think the top of the order has the potential to be really good with, you know, two guys in Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh that have, you know, easy 30 plus home run power, maybe like even could push for dueling 40 home run seasons if like all the wins and everything else broke correctly. I mean, they have that kind of upside, so, and that kind of power. So yeah, really interesting. I think we'll wrap it up on that note. Last breakout name, Victor Robles, for you. You got some free stuff there. I have an article kind of detailing a lot of the stuff that we talked about today, plus a few more names. You can go and check that out at baseballamerica.com. We have a ton of content out right now. We've had rankings. We've had fantasy rankings that we continually update and stay on top of. And just lots of good news and notes. You could follow along the Prospect Wire, where we're writing up every single day stuff that's happening in the spring training games with your favorite prospects that you might be rostering in your dynasty league. Great way to keep up on the news and notes, as well as draft, college baseball, all that other stuff. Once again, I'm Jeff Ponce. That's Dylan White. Thanks for tuning into the Fantasy Baseball America podcast. Cheers.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.